You're listening to a podcast from Blogging Heads TV.
Hi, I'm Kat Rosenfield.
And I'm Phoebe Maltz-Bovey, and together we form Feminine Chaos.
Here on Blogging Heads.
Which you can subscribe to, right?
You can also subscribe to us on Patreon. You can subscribe on both. You can pay for one if you wish.
For extra bonus content that's even sillier than what you get here.
if such a thing is even possible.
Yeah.
And speaking of frivolous discussion topics, we are on the dating beat today. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So if you had come here for hard-hitting international relations pontification, you're going to have to go somewhere else for that, because frankly, if we did that, it would be out of date by the time you would be hearing it. So anyway, on that note, we're on that's the reason. That's the only reason, because otherwise I have so much on this. We are going to talk about deal breakers today. Deal breakers as so there's this phenomenon that I am obsessed with where men will say, I don't like women who wear too much makeup. And everybody's like, good for you. Like, should all women everywhere in the world, you know, consider this when deciding whether or not to wear makeup? Obviously not. Well, is there a women's version of this?
There is.
And is that perhaps our topic for today?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, if there's anything revealed by what we're discussing today, it's that this sort of public declaration of what you're not into, often in deeply personal, sometimes even cruel terms, is a universal human behavior and not specific to just one sex.
That's right. That's right. So this is a full on, we're just leaning into it, Twitter nonsense themed one, and this is this tweet. We're going to start with one by the journalist, I guess, Sarah Kelly, 8,900 likes, but a mere 255 retweets. The text of this tweet says, wow, I hate this so much. Okay. And this she hates so much is not Trump's Iran policy. No, it is. What is it? Jesse, age 29. It is a screenshot from a dating app. Jesse, 29, lobbyist, Tufts University, 1 mile away. And it reads, I'm going to read the whole thing because I don't know if it makes much sense without. Okay. Scene. I take you to reggae night at 18th Street Lounge and pay the $10 cover for you. And then parentheses. Wow. You're surprised by my dexterity on the dance floor. We devour Papa John's at 2 a.m., my treat. You've fallen for me. Fast forward 10 years. Thomas and Isabella, and then in parentheses, our children, are beginning pre-K. You're the fun parent. I have reluctantly become the disciplinarian. We've got a nice life in sleepy Potomac, a three-bedroom, two-bath home. Sounds not bad. Cherry wood floors. I don't know what that is. Sorry, I'm editorializing. A good neighborhood with highly rated public schools. Okay. So that's the thing. Yes. Now, what is so, like, this guy who, there's no photo, okay? No last name. Somebody in the replies is like, oh, I know who this is. What a surprise. This is not that.
Yeah, he's genuinely extremely identifiable, even without a last name or a photo.
Right. I mean, I don't know, like, I have not tried to dox this person. I have no desire to, but it would be probably very easy. What was his crime here? Why do we as women?
What has he done? He had the audacity to put himself out there in an attempt to attract women who might appreciate him in full view of a woman who didn't. Mm-hmm. How dare he? Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that is worthy of hatred, certainly. I've just found this very strange and upsetting, because here's this guy's dating profile, which maybe you look at it and you think that guy would not be for me. Maybe he's for somebody else, even if he's not for anybody.
I hope
whatever.
So. He seems earnest. And, you know, what's, I don't know. I mean, there's, oh God, I have so, actually, I have a lot to say about this, but first and foremost, it just strikes me that, you know, for all of these many, many, it seems like decades, the man who doesn't want a relationship, doesn't want to commit, isn't a grown-up, blah, 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 like, has been this punchline for why men are so terrible and why dating is so terrible. Here's a guy who's advertising his desire to get married and settle down in, like, a nice leafy suburb in a three-bedroom house, and have children. You know, all of these desirable things, at least, you know, to somebody, probably. And this, you know, this woman decided to blow it up on Twitter, you know, to mock him and talk about how repulsive she found it. It just seems mean.
It's just what, I guess with all of these things, there's always this element of that, like, it's everything like this has to always be these days framed as a punch up. Right? Because, like, it's not that she's mocking this guy for being a little bit basic on a dating app. No, no, it's this, the only thing she has to point to seems to be this thing about the good school districts, which could potentially in a sort of maybe be something offensive there, maybe.
Yeah, if you're seeking to be offended, but come on.
But I don't think that was her central complaint. It seemed more like the whole thing about where he's saying in the parentheses are children, which should be kind of obvious from the context. He's not, it's not like the profile of somebody who's like super snarky, clever type person, but it's clearly attempting to be kind of light and humorous. It is, in other words, a dating profile. It's not literature. It's, I don't know, like, who knows if he's even being, like, you say he's earnest, I don't even know, like, I think he's trying to be kind of jokey.
Well, I mean, more in that, you know, you've got somebody saying, you know, like, basically putting out this scenario that is jokey, but at the same time, it's an advertisement for what he's looking for out of this dating, you know, landscape. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can read this and you can surmise this guy's looking for a relationship. He wants to settle down. He wants to eventually get married. All, you know, all things that not all men or all people want. And I think that this is why I think that it's so cruel to screw, I mean, it's always, honestly, it's always a vile thing, I think, to screenshot and mock somebody's dating profile.
Agreed.
But here particularly, like, you have somebody who has chosen to just, you know, honestly present themselves in a way that they hope is appealing, you know, to say, like, this is what I envision my future with somebody will be like. And that's actually a vulnerable thing to do. And it's very cruel to mock somebody who's put themselves out there like that.
Yeah.
Somebody pointed out to me that this is akin, and I think this was a good point, akin to this thing that you see sometimes where people will surreptitiously take a video of somebody in the gym who's not fit or not attractive, often somebody who is recording their workout themselves or like flexing, taking a selfie, and some third party observer will see this and film the person filming themselves and then post it online like, let's all laugh at this person who had the audacity to imagine that they could be attractive to somebody. Mm-hmm. It's very mean.
It is. It is. And it's very, I mean, I think that's right. I mean, I guess I keep returning to the sort of women shouldn't wear makeup analogy because I feel like it's presumptuous in that same way. It's like, who's to say that this man wants to date this woman either? Like, this notion that, like, that the purpose of men on dating sites would be to appeal to this particular woman and that, like, that's the whole thing, you know, mm-hmm. like, that this isn't about matching people with people who they're suited to, but that it's, like, pronouncing about how people should be in general. And the fact, it's, like, I guess you can't entirely blame, I mean, you can, like, the original tweeter, because then you got this thread, which she does participate in, where it's kind of like, sort of like, everybody hates him. Nobody wants to date that. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And it's like, but that's where I think it gets really upsetting, where it's like, maybe somebody would think this is fine. I am sure in the world of actual people that plenty of people would find that fine. I don't know what this man looks like, which would be a, you know, important probably piece. But yeah, just this notion that this, that everybody has the same sensibilities in the whole world just doesn't make any sense. And it's just, but, and yet it could still be hurtful, because if you are in that vulnerable spot, it, like, hearing no man likes a woman with your self-presentation, or no woman likes a man with your self-presentation, is upsetting.
Yeah. And I think this is actually even worse than generalizations about men or about women, because this is an individual. This is a real person who made this thing and is now having it mocked. And needless to say, you know, just to play this game, if some guy did this to a girl and, you know, and blew it up on Twitter and was like, ugh, like this woman, this real woman, you know, here's her dating profile, identify, you know, who you can identify if you happen to know her in real life. She is so repulsive to me. And everybody piles in the replies and is like, ugh, no one would ever want to date her.
Somebody replied and it got 32 likes. Being straight is a curse. Now, why? Like, what? I don't even understand. Like, this man, like, this profile is just whatever. Like, it is not anything interesting enough. Like, I genuinely, apart from everything else, apart from the ethics of this, do not understand why the emotion this would elicit wouldn't be like, huh, okay. Like, I could see not being drawn to it, but I can't imagine being, like, outraged by it.
Yeah, I mean, just being offended at the existence of this, you know, of this person on the dating market strikes me as pretty wild. And, you know, I do keep coming back to the kind of high schoolness of it all, where, you know, it really reminds me, and I said this on Twitter, so now I'm just going to say it again here, of, you know, movies in which some dorky loser has, like, the audacity to imagine that they could date somebody, and they are, you know, discovered, like, their, I don't know, their love letters or their diary are discovered and, like, plastered all over the school, and everyone mocks them and laughs at them. And it's, you know, to put them in their place, like, just remember that you're disgusting and no one will ever
laugh. Yeah. I mean, it's completely that, but it sees itself as something else. It sees itself as a punch up because it's a woman talking about a man. So it's like, this is somehow in some very, very convoluted way meant to have to do with fighting sexism, although I don't know how. And because this notion that he's kind of like a privileged man, it's okay. And nothing, it's okay. But I'm saying, I think that, like, the pile-on assumes that he's, like, somehow an okay target for this.
I don't even think that that much thought went into it. You know,
I think it did, though, in the sense that if the genders were reversed, it wouldn't.
But it fits that automatic framework, you know, where here is somebody where, like, you know, you take a quick scan of the situation, and if you are already kind of operating in this framework, you say, yes, this person is a valid punching bag.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't think that people are, like, actually sitting with some sort of oppression hierarchy checklist. I think it is just this, like, notion that, I don't know, that he would be, like, a person against whom it would be impossible to be sort of bigoted, therefore
it's fine to be incredibly cruel to him.
And it's just like, what did he do? And I guess I just, this notion that, like what even is it about? Like, I just, apart from everything else, I just don't get why, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, I have so many questions.
And so something that occurred to me, I think one of the reasons that this happens is that we've got these two kind of norms that are busy evolving next to each other and that are interacting in a way that's actually pretty toxic. Where for one thing, it's, you know, this sort of performative, like you said, punching down, like, you know, let's all snark at and make fun of this person. And there's this sort of, like, gleeful malice to it that you see a lot in online discussions. At the same time, this is happening alongside the evolution of dating and forging relationships and forging connections from a relatively private process to, like, a public one on which you're soliciting feedback all the time, where, you know, you're like branding yourself. There's this advertising aspect to it. And, that these things don't, like, those two scenarios, those two norms, are like a really toxic combination.
Absolutely. I thought you made a great point about this, on Twitter about, like, in this era when that's the only way people can be kind
yes.
of. I think that that is crucial because, like, we are in this era when it's like, yuck, somebody approached me at a coffee shop. Ew, you know, is sort of, I mean, people used to always say this, but now it's like dead serious.
Yeah. It's that it's the idea that it's not done. It's not done to approach people in person. And I really want to kind of put a pin in this because what strikes me is the guy in this profile is 29, which makes him, I guess, like a middle to younger millennial. And presumably so is the woman who posted this screenshot, you know, probably like mid to late 20s. And it's funny to realize this, but people that age actually don't have the context, of having been alive at a time, which was not that long ago, when creating a personal Zad, which is what a dating profile is, was not just unusual, it was frowned upon. It was like, why would you have to resort to a dating service to try and find a stranger to go out with? What is wrong with you that you can't meet somebody in the normal way? And in like the span of less than 15 years, not only has the stigma of online dating been completely, you know, erased, which I think is, you know, it's a good thing. It's suddenly happened that we now see this somehow as the only legitimate way ever to meet somebody.
Right.
Never mind that, like, for thousands and thousands of years of human history, people were only meeting in the other ways, which have now all been deemed bad and inappropriate.
Right. I mean, I think, or in some ways, it's just like a reversal to this sort of, you know, pre-modern matchmakers, right? Where people would be...
Except that people are doing it themselves instead of, you know, having
Right, but
parents.
I mean, in the sense of this sight unseen, it's like there, in a way, it was a blip when people were able to... Well, it's always been a mix. I guess it's always been a mix. But, yeah, I don't know. I just... I guess it's become like that it... it's this notion of consent, right? That you have to first consent to being in a dating space before you could, like,
yeah.
that if somebody like hits on you at a bar where you were just trying to hang out with your friends, you know.
I just find that so insane. You know, the idea that, you know, being approached and spoken to and asked out by somebody who you're not interested in is such a burden that it constitutes a violation.
Like, yeah, I mean, it seems like, couldn't it just be that if the person doesn't take no for an answer, that's the violation, but the initial asking is not? Like, that just used to seem like such common sense, and now I feel like it isn't, which I don't know if you're ready to segue yet. Are you ready to segue?
I'm ready to segue.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So in the spirit of the topic of strange new norms, I was going to segue into the wrong one, but I will segue into the correct one now. Cause it could have been a bunch of different directions.
I have no idea where you're going with this. what is happening?
A topic for a different one of our podcasts that occurred to me is somehow very relevant, but no. Is it also not allowed to, if you are a man, not have a bed frame?
Oh, right. Yes. So this is, you know, so this is funny, actually. This also originated on Twitter. But once again, you know, we're talking about kind of like a broader norm here. So this idea, this came from a thread by Sarah Beau Schaefer, who is a comedian and writer. She says, men, here's why a bed frame matters. No bed frame means your mattress is on the floor. As movies have taught us, floor mattresses are for heroin use and prolonged torture, but it also reveals that you've never been in a relationship long enough for a woman to fix your entire life.
Yes.
And she goes on to talk about, you know, a previous relationship in which the boyfriend not only had no bed frame, but also no curtains, no furniture, and kept his clothes in a trash bag. She said, he'd been living in this place for years and he was in his 30s, nice guy, but it told me something. I already feel that we've sort of exceeded the parameters of the original tweet. This is no longer about a bed frame. This is about a man who's living like a transient in an apartment,
right,
you know, for
right,
a period of years. But anyway, the whole idea here is that, you know, men are required by law, no, not law, social law, to have a bed frame or suffer the consequences in the form of, you know, being totally undesirable, I guess.
Yes. It's again this world of one woman's opinion stated as global opinion and admittedly one woman's shared opinion, just not one woman's universally shared opinion. What I found interesting was a response this gets where somebody's like, hey, I don't have a bed frame, or I didn't have a bed frame for financial reasons or something. And the original tweeter responds, my tweet was certainly not a personal indictment of you during an economically stressful time. Obviously, there are exceptions due to financial or life situations. Every woman understands this. Okay, now everything in this response fascinates me. Sort of working backwards, every woman understands this. No, is every woman understanding to the same degree of the same, what? Every woman? No. But then also this notion that this isn't about a man's financial circumstance. I mean, of course it is. It's not exclusively about that, but this notion, it's like, it's not like a woman on a first date is controlling for a man's general finances. She doesn't know. This is of course going to be a proxy for that, you know, to mm-hmm. some extent. It's not solely that if the house is otherwise, you know, if he has a lot of expensive crap, like no bed frame, maybe it could be something else, but like, it's obviously like, does the man live in some sort of squalor, or not even squalor, but like, does it seem sparse?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that seemed disingenuous to me, that response.
Yeah, well, you know, it's I think a typical thing, you know, for somebody to be confronted with the actual, like, individual human impact of a statement that they have just, a very broad general statement that they've just made that managed to indict an enormous swath of people. And here's one person to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, this applies to me and kind of hurts my feelings. And to just be like, instead of to say, you know, I shouldn't have said this in this way, it's, well, I didn't mean you. And everyone knows I didn't mean you. And it's
every,
like,
woman.
Yeah, everyone. Every woman knows I didn't mean you. But, you know, the guy clearly.
But why didn't she mean him? I guess I wonder. Like, who did she
mean?
I
think she meant him. I mean, I think she just didn't think it through, which, you know, arguably, yeah, who does? It's Twitter.
That's true.
But the thing about it that's, you know, that's sort of funny to me is, it's so, like, the idea of a bed frame as an indication of, I guess, like, emotional maturity or readiness to, or not even that. I mean, the way that she frames this actually is pretty deeply offensive. And the idea that, like, men, you know, this is an indication, not that you have bad taste in furniture or, you know, or whatever, bad taste in apartment decor, or that you have no money, that you've never had a relationship with a woman who instructed you on the importance of bed frames. You've never had,
yeah,
a step in to fix your entire life.
This is reminding me of, there was some Savage Love cast once that was also about, it was like, I think about bed linens or something, and why do straight men such and such with the, yeah, I don't know. I guess, I mean, what bothered me about this, and I am paraphrasing my tweets, which is so shameful, but here we go. It implies that women are all like at the Pottery Barn or whatever 24/7. Like, it just, it puts things in such a like binary essentialist way that like does not, women do not come out looking good.
Yes.
It might
all women
seem
care.
Yeah.
All women care,
yeah,
so much about bed frames that had you ever been with one, she would have, you know, forced a bed frame into your life that you would still have even if she's no longer there, which clearly she's not because this guy's,
yeah,
not dating again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wonder, like, there are a lot, I could go on for like 10 hours on this, which is bad because like we do not have 10 hours for this, but oh my goodness. I think one thing that's interesting about it is that, and that also applies to very much like contemporary dating norms, is that it's basically saying that somebody needs their life 100% in order as a single person before they can have a relationship. I think it's a pretty common thing to buy a bed frame once you've kind of settled down with somebody, whether you are a man or a woman or of any other gender. I think it's not uncommon to be like, that's kind of a big purchase you want to make with another person. Maybe if you're living on your own or with roommates or whatever, you're not going to buy one. So what? You could still have like it propped up on a other sorts of stuff, but like a real bed frame, like a nice bed frame seems to me like something kind of like this notion that it's like sort of like a mini version of saying that somebody needs to own their own home before they could possibly buy a home with another person to show yes. that they can do that alone first.
And it's almost so like bourgeois, I guess, you know, that you, it sort of recalls like the way that you see people talking in these, you know, in these novels from another era where it's like, oh, him, yes, you know, he has 5,000 a year. Right. Or right. he only has, you know, 100 a year or whatever. Yeah. Like, he only has a mattress on the floor. Whereas that guy has, you know, he's got the entire executive bedroom set from Restoration Hardware.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It actually, yeah. you know, this, I just have to tell this story. This is really funny. It just reminded me. But I did actually once date a guy who had, not only a bed frame, but the entire, you know, his apartment looked like it came out of a catalog because when he moved in, his parents furnished his apartment for him. They just opened the catalog and bought the catalog picture, like all of the things in the picture. And it was funny because at the time, you know, like as the tweet thread says, I did, you know, gain certain information from the fact that his bedroom looked this way and, you know, and knowing that this was the source of the furniture. But it didn't convince me that he had his shit together. It convinced me that if we ever got married, I was going to be battling with my in-laws for the rest of my life to, you know, sure. furnish my home the way I wanted to.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did not end up together. Not because of that. I mean, for other reasons, but, you know, I'm sure it was a contributing factor.
Yeah. I mean, that seems likely. It's also just, I mean, it depends on people's age, right? You know, like if a man is like very young, I would more assume, yeah, parents or something, or I don't know. It just, I guess just like, what exactly is it a proxy for a bed frame? I mean, apart from not having a poodle who couldn't get into the bed when it was on a bed frame and then perhaps theoretically having to get rid of that bed frame for the comfort of the poodle.
You could build a ramp for her.
But like she could get in the bed. She just would like stubbornly like be pathetic and like in the middle of the night. And
aww. Yeah.
So that's, yeah, it's like propped up, but not on a bed frame
to because the lives of poodle owners.
It's, you know, a small poodle. It's tricky. Maybe if a man has truly a mattress on the floor, it's like a toy poodle though.
Right, right. I mean, yeah,
I would think would be an asset on the dating market.
But it's just funny, you know, having fairly recently furnished an apartment. When I think about, you know, I spent a lot of time looking at bed frames, and I just don't really see an enormous difference between, you know, a mattress on the floor or a mattress and box spring on the floor and, you know, the like $50 metal hideous bed frame that you can get from IKEA that's probably going to fall apart the moment you do anything athletic on the bed. You know, I mean, it's not like this stratospheric difference in circumstance is projected by the existence of one over the other.
Well, to me, it seems like there's, so with like all spending, I think it's good to spend on the things that either matter to you or are truly necessary for like the consideration of others. So I wouldn't be like Marie Kondoing one's deodorant. You know what I mean? Things like that. But
your deodorant doesn't spark joy though, does it?
But you know what I mean. I'm saying I think those are the things where I think you have to kind of get stuff, whether it's stuff that you know means a lot to you or just stuff to be like decent in society. A bed frame seems like the ultimate in if you want it, get it. You are not being like inconsiderate if you don't.
Yeah.
And this notion that women demand this sort of extra above and beyond level, it just seems like completely of this thing of like like very retro cliche of like, why does my husband never clean? Well, maybe it's just because my standards are so such that you need to dust 5 times a day and he only thinks you need to dust 3 times a day. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It just seems like a bad path to go down that thinks it's feminist, but isn't. I guess where I land on this.
Well, I mean, as with our previous example, it's one of these things that I think, you know, slides through without a whole lot of interrogation because it's seen as punching up at men overall. Mm-hmm. And so
even though it's the men who do not have their lives together who are being punched up supposedly.
But you know, having been born with all that male privilege, surely if they don't have their lives together, it's nobody's fault but their own. This is me just joking, paraphrasing the, you know, just want to please don't kill me commenters.
Don't worry. Somebody will definitely interpret this as feminine chaos bans men who don't have the right furniture.
Right. I keep thinking about, you know, like, as always, what would the equivalent thing be if a guy were to say this about women, specifically with the notion that a woman's living circumstances project her lack of relationship history, you know, in a way that's problematic.
Oh, I think this came up on the Savage Love Cast, and it has to do with, like, if a space just looks very, like, frilly and girly and, like, a man would not... Like, there wouldn't be room for a man to kind of move in. It's all just too...
Clearly, a man has not been in her life long enough to instruct her on, you know, the importance of leather furniture.
Exactly. I don't know. I guess it's just, like, it just seems to me that in dating, there are so many things that could be one's own heartfelt deal breakers that to start sort of unthinkingly agreeing to these ones that are just these kind of like tropes would be a mistake.
Yes, it's true. And, you know, of course, like, more power to you if a lack of a bed frame is a genuine deal breaker for you, but not one to be thoughtlessly adopted. Winston agrees. He's
working. I can hear some poodle here as well, I think. So, oh my goodness. Yeah. So sweet.
Just a little visitor.
That's nice. Yeah, I don't know. I say you don't need a bed frame. You don't need, what was the other? Completely drawing a blank.
Well, you know, the guy had his clothes in garbage bags, which, I mean...
That's not ideal.
I just think, you know, for the sake of your clothes, especially if you, you know, ever get sweaty in them and then you put them back in the bag,
But that's the consideration piece, right? Like, that's... Yeah.
Right. I mean, or, you know, consideration for oneself. That's a good way to grow mm-hmm. toxic mold that could kill you. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe work on that. But yeah, I think, you know, overall the idea that, especially in this day and age, you know, that a furnished apartment is an indication of emotional readiness for a relationship is probably a misnomer.
Yes. And I think it only just encourages this notion that you have to have your hope, like that you can't grow up in a way with somebody, like that you can't, you know, mature with your partner, like you
That's
can't
a good
be
point.
Kind of younger and, you know,
buy a bed frame together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine too. Yeah. And well, one day when we live in Potomac, I'm sure.
I mean, you and I, are we going to be roommates?
All of us. All of our generation.
Right.
In the proverbial Potomac, whatever that is.
Right.
Definitely big bed frame.
Right. Enough to house, you know, everybody in your polyamorous quintuple since, you know, probably dating itself and heterosexual pairing off will have disappeared by then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's already very problematic.
So. With a ramp for the poodles.
Right. Right. The poodles are part of the marriage.
Certainly.
This is the future that liberals want.
I don't think we can end on a better note than that.
Yeah. Okay, I got a little silly, but that's all good. This has been Feminine Chaos. You can find us here on Blogging Heads. You can support us on Patreon, and we will see you next time.
Yep.
Also, woof.
Woof.
Bye.